plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
This is Beth Darlington, paranormal investigator and owner of Access Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost in the Valley podcast.
Okay, I'm excited today. I have my wife's cousin's daughter, Danny. That would make you a second cousin, right, Danny?
Yep.
Yeah, we've been trying to connect for, a couple of years now, and finally made it happen. And she has some really cool stories she's going to share today, and maybe some she doesn't want to remember, but it's all good. I'm glad you're on the show, and welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to do this. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I didn't know where to begin. I mean, I want to say, you know, where did you start having an interest in the paranormal?
So when I was four, I don't know if you remember this, we lived over on Homewood.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then mom and dad got a house on Grissom.
Mm-hmm.
I just started having crazy stuff happen there. The weirdest being I saw my mom a lot and it wasn't my mother. What happened was, I was so scared to sleep upstairs because the room was huge. It was 18 by 22.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big room, you know, for one kid. And it was my playroom. And then when Josh came, my brother, we moved it into make that my room. So weird stuff started happening. I was so scared to sleep on that room. I would make my brother come in the room and sleep on the floor. I was scared to death. And one night, you know, my mom was like, he's got to learn how to stay in his own bed. He's training. It had been like 3 or 4. It started getting worse as I got older. And one night I went across to his room to go get him. To the left were the stairs going down the steps. And I saw my mom and she was in a bright pink robe. She had a pink spoon, which I'd never seen before. And she was standing there. And I started crying because she kept going like this. So she's pointing down to come downstairs. So I'm like, I'm sorry. And I get down to the third to the last step. And she just poofs like this white mist. I've never seen it before in my life.
Hmm.
And I've never seen it since. But I ran around it and it followed me. And then I went into my mom's room and she was sleeping and then it was gone. Weird stuff was happening. My brother was being thrown down the steps. Even with the baby gate, something would push him. And we'd always end up getting these black birds in the basement. And we had no chimney or anything. We don't understand how that happened. But ever since then, weird stuff has been happening to me. And it got so bad to the point that I was scared a lot. And my friend told me, if I ignore it, it'll go away. So that's what I did. And I shouldn't have, because I was really sensitive to that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I still am, but to a point. So years later, we moved to Florida and my mom comes home with these pink spoons.
Mm.
Bright pink spoons.
Just like you've seen in the your vision.
Yeah. I'm like, what the heck? You know what I mean? And I'm standing there and she's looking at me like I'm crazy. And I sat down and I told her. She knew about the stories that happened on Grissom, but we didn't talk about it because about a year before we moved, I noticed that there was a window on the outside of the house that was above my 3-bedroom windows. And it was octagon shaped.
This was all in the house in Grissom?
Yeah.
Okay.
it was right above my bedroom, and my dad and mom never thought about it. But like one day I pointed it out that you can't see it inside the bedroom, but you can see it outside. So my dad goes upstairs and starts knocking on the wall where this window should be, and it sounds hollow. So he takes a sledgehammer to it, and inside were all these devil worshiping Bibles and just this big old chalkboard with like all this bad stuff written on it. And then next to it, there was this door that had a lock on it, and it was the attic. And never decided to go in there before, but for some reason after that, he broke the lock, went in, and there was church pews, and there were candelabras, and then behind some built-in bookshelves, there was more of those Bibles. So my mom ran out to the neighbor's house, you know, freaking out, told her what she found, and she said, well, you need to sit down. And she told her that the guy that had lived there before, because I guess the house had been vacant for a while, but before, he sacrificed animals in that room.
Wow.
Did seances and had people go up there. And so they treated it like a church. It was that big. So we were out. Like within a year, my dad was already in Florida. We moved down there. And then the house in Florida was pretty good. It was built on an Indian burial ground, but I didn't have any problems there except for I saw my grandfather a few times, which was a cool thing. But then I went to college. We moved back up here. My mom got a house on Devon Drive and never noticed anything there. Went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh and stayed in their apartment dorm area. And everything you can think of that could happen in that place did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a room there, 1007. It's considered the door of death. No matter how many times they paint it, it turns black.
Hmm.
And they paint it green. All the doors are green. One day, I was in that room hanging out with my friends, and I had to leave. I had the worst feeling ever. And then my apartment, one time I walked in, and my friend Mike, I was in a wheelchair at the time. So Mike was pushing me around Pittsburgh, and we walk in. And my roommate's boyfriend, Mike, his name is Mike too, is washing dishes. I see him, bright orange shirt, plain as day, water's running. So we go into the bedroom where Amanda is, and I'm talking to her for about 10 minutes, and the water's still running. And I said, when did Mike get home? And she goes, he's not home. He's at class. And the water stops. And I'm like, he's in the kitchen. So we start yelling for him. No one there. And then the other weird thing was my friend Mike walked into the apartment one day and he saw this thing in the bathroom. It was right across the hall from my room. And he felt like he couldn't move. He was frozen and it would stare at him. And he said it looked like a dog. But it wasn't. It's almost if you took, and the only way I can describe it is, you remember Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Okay, the demon dog.
Right.
He said it was kind of like that, but it was very pointy hair. And all I remember him saying, his face was white, and I just looked at him. He goes, I gotta leave. And like almost sort of like a robotic voice. So he left, and I was like, what the hell? And went outside, and he just snapped out of it. He goes, I'm not going back in there for a while. Then that night, I was really afraid to sleep in the apartment because, I mean, posters were being pulled off the wall. Things were moving. Then I'm sleeping or trying to sleep anyway in my bed, and he's on the floor. Suddenly something grabs my leg, my left leg, and it slides its hand, whatever it is, up my leg. I start screaming. He wakes up. He sees it because it's lifting up the sheets and he just smacks it. First instinct. We booked it out of there. And then a kid killed himself. That was pretty rough. And so more stuff was happening. And then I saw a little girl in a white nightgown coming from the kitchen around into the dining room. And then she was gone. But whatever that was, and I don't know if this is from college I don't know if it's that spirit, or I played with a Ouija board when I was 18 or 17 with a friend, and that thing was going haywire. It wasn't even, it was going so fast that our hands went off of it and it just kept going. So there was no possible way for it to move other than energy.
Mm.
So it was talking to us, and it was a very funny spirit, but it asked me certain questions, like not so much that it would say certain things, like you had a Fairlane when you died. It was yellow. At the time, that was my favorite color.
Mm.
I had a 1965 Ford Fairlane. That was my first car. And it said you died of an overdose at Woodstock. And that's why you don't like drugs.
Mm.
Right? So I'm like, what the, how does this thing know this thing? And it would be funny and be like, F you, woundy joke. You know what I mean? It would like sarcasm with me. I don't know if it's that spirit, but it's a trickster and it has not left me. Now this house.
Well, before we get into that one, I want to go back. I want to go back to before your father passed away.
Yeah.
We talked about maybe a few months before that, and he wanted to get together with me and talk to me about the house on Grissom.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because he says, I have so many stories. And I said, oh, yeah, I can't wait to hear it. He said, yeah, he wanted to come on my podcast and talk about it, you know, and I was just starting, you know, newly starting out. And I said, sure, you know, unfortunately, you know, we never got together and did that. But then he went on to say, well, it didn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to hear all those stories. I think maybe some of the stories you just told me may have been maybe been what he wanted to say.
You know,
I think he mentioned something about the attic. And then
yes.
I know when we were visiting your family in Florida, when you lived in Florida.
Yeah.
That the night we spent there, the first night, because we slept on a pullout couch or something. I can't remember, but I do remember in the middle of the night, Millie and I were sleeping, and all of a sudden this big came through the house. And you know how hot it is. It was like,
oh yeah,
80, 90 degrees, you know. But this energy that came through the living room was ice cold.
Wow.
Millie and I just looked at each other like, okay, what the hell was that? You know, because it wasn't the air conditioner. It was just a weird way of explaining it.
And yeah.
The next morning, your mom got up, and I remember she came downstairs, and we had mentioned about this cold breeze that just came through like a big, and a, like a, like something like that. And your mom goes, oh, so you met my dad last night.
Yep. That's another thing I forgot to tell you.
Yeah, you're right. Right. So I'm thinking, I knew that house.
I forgot to tell you that story.
And Mila and I both felt and witnessed that. You know, and I was so, I you know, how you wish you could have, you know, should have, could have, would have gone back and sitting down and talking to you about the, about those, some of those stories. I just want to mention that.
Oh, yeah. No, that's kind of funny. It's funny that you mentioned that because my dad told me one night he woke up at like 4 a.m. and I was a teenager. I was up all night watching the Late Late Show, and he comes out. And he goes, you will not believe what just happened. And I'm like, what? He goes, not to be too TMI. I was just kissing your mother. And I'm like, okay. And we were getting a little frisky. I'm like, okay. And something knocked on the headboard, like knock, 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 not like a knock, knock, like a continuous.
Uh-huh.
That was my grandfather. And I can tell you that right now, messing with him.
He said that it was a lot of interactions with your grandfather.
Yes. And the thing is that, and I'll get to this, he's here in my house. I have two friends that are both mediums. One's named Cindy, one's named Nicole. And Nicole, I was sitting in my chair. She's actually best friends with my wife, Sarah. So they were talking on the phone, no video or anything, just regular audio talking. And she just suddenly said, Danny, you're sitting in the wrong chair. And I'm like, okay, I didn't even know she was a medium at this point. And she goes, go to the brown chair. I'm like, how do you know I have a brown chair? So I go sit in it. And this is the weird part, because I use those apps, the Ghost Tube apps and the Ghost apps and the voice box or the spirit box. And also the app that shows you if there is a spirit. It's like a stick figure kind of thing.
I used that once. Yeah.
I honestly thought it was BS until she said that, because I see this little girl it's a little stick figure running around. She said, that's a girl. She said, but the thing is, there's a man behind you. And I lost it for a second because I was like, I've seen him. He sits right between my fireplace and my tower, my like entertainment tower. And he just stands there. He doesn't move. And I've seen him several times. Well, she said, that's your grandfather. And I said, what? And she goes, yeah, white shirt, jeans, brown shoes, buzzed haircut, glasses. And so she gets back on the phone with Sarah and I go in the other room and I put on the voice app and I ask it questions. You know, who are you? You know, what are you doing here? And sure enough, it says grandfather, spirit guide. So I feel more comfortable in this house. She said also that the little one was my dad's sister that passed away, Liberty. She was 3 years old when she died. And she says she dances around, which I guess was like her thing. She loved to like skip and dance when she was younger. So and it made me feel good that I had family here. But it's the other stuff, like the lady that hit the house 7 days after my dad died in 2021, January 17th. He died, well, 6 days. Dad died on the 11th. At 3 a.m, I was at my mom's house staying the night, helping her. We were just distraught still. And I get a phone call at 3:50 a.m. And it's my wife, frantic. And she says, somebody broke in the house. And I said, oh my God, like I'm 35 minutes away. Uh-huh. So I said, call the cops. She goes, I already did. And she's screaming, I got a gun. We don't have a gun. She goes, I got a gun. And, you know, both my pit bulls are upstairs shaking to death because they're scared. And she goes, go downstairs. They won't go downstairs. So the police call. And the police station is right behind my house. So they weren't even a minute and a half late. Like, they show up and they call her and they said, the cop's on the line. I got to call you back. So they tell her to go outside. And unfortunately, she saw, you know, the accident. A lady hit her house and she kind of spun and hit the other house. And ever since then, things are totally different. Like, she is my friend who's the other medium. Cindy said that there is an old man that lives here. I think she said his name is Thomas, but he built the house 100 years ago when this was all farmland, when he had a farm. And he wakes up every morning, he goes downstairs, he turns on the light, which scares the crap out of me because I don't know if it's the electric because it's a 100-year-old house.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Or if it's him. But then you hear footsteps coming down, and then you smell the bacon when he goes in the kitchen. So that's him. But the lady, her name was Darlene Evans, and she was a friend of my landlord's at the time. From what I understand, she was going through a lot of mental problems, and she kind of committed suicide on my house. She left a note and stuff for her son, and I've talked to her son since then, but she doesn't know where to go. She doesn't know where to go. That's what my friend told me. She's stuck. And she's in my front room where she hit the house. So I went in the front room with the voice box or spirit box. And I told her, you know, Darlene, do you need help? Do you know where you are? Do you know what happened? She said, what is this place? And I said, this is my home. I said, you hit it and you passed away. And what she told my friend was that not like this. So I don't know if she was intending to go somewhere else to do it, but nevertheless, it happened. And she said she would have never told her she passed away because she did. She told her she passed away. She didn't know it was a suicide. She would have never told her that because now she's really confused. She was talking all weird stuff on the spirit box through my phone and saying how she's confused. And then something said, I said, do you want me to get a hold of somebody for you? I said, I will get a shaman. I will get a priest. I will get you to the other side. I said, but do you want me to get a hold of a family member? And she said her father, who's still alive, but I don't have any means of getting a hold of him. I don't know if I should get a hold of her son. And if I do, do I say I've been talking to his dead mother? Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What do I do about that? Do I open wounds and be like, I need help getting her past the other side? because she's stuck. And it bothers me a lot, because this poor woman who felt like she had nothing to live for is now stuck for eternity in my house.
You know, I hear that so many times all these years I've been doing this podcast is, you know, you're talking about like moving the spirit on, you know,
yeah.
but they have to want to do it. But
exactly.
But, you know, like some of you are sticking around because they have something to say. Their story's not done yet. So it's like there's something there that's keeping her here that's not keeping her from moving on.
That's what Cindy said.
And my past guest that was just on, just real quick, she was terrified as a child. She was 4 years old. It's kind of like you. She was, because she was very young, and this demon, she calls it a demon, was in her house because, and she don't use that term lightly, but, you know, it had a child with him. So she's had this feeling that he killed this child.
Oh, wow.
And he's tormenting her. Terrifying. Again, imagine as you're yourself a child.
Yeah.
And she's lived with her whole, she's in her 60s. She's lived with her whole life. And she can't get past the fact that his house is no longer there. But she has this feeling that this child has been locked under this demon's possession for all these years.
It's
like she can't do nothing about it. And what do you do?
Right.
It's like the lady hit your house, you know. It's sad that, and a lot of times they don't even know they're dead.
You know, I know.
So they're stuck in this realm of being here. And when you tell them you're a spirit, or they come to find out they're, you know, it's devastating like to them as well. They don't know they're dead.
Yeah, and she won't leave that corner of the room either, Cindy said. She'll peek around the corner, but she'll never leave that room. And I just feel awful about it. And
does Sarah see any of this stuff in the house or?
No, Sarah. Well, we have this doll. It's a Frosty, the snowman doll.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought it at a garage sale and we put batteries in it and it worked. We've had it now for about 8 years, 8 or 9 years. Every year we get it out of the attic and we put it downstairs and it'll play like for no reason. And it does it a lot. And it does it a lot when Sarah's here by herself. And so Sarah's really, really scared of this stuff. So not me, because I'm used to it, number one. And number two, if you feed into their energy of being scared, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just talk to it and say, do your thing. I'll do my thing. Leave me alone. Okay, bye. And so basically.
Yeah, you're at the point where basically you're sharing your house with the spirit that.
Yes.
I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's either can be scared and live in torment, or you can live with it and understand it.
Yes. It never went off in the attic. We had the batteries in it for 8 years. So it's not like it goes off all the time because the batteries would be worn.
Right.
Only at Christmas time does it go off. And the last time we took in my friend and her mom and it wouldn't go off. You know, her house burned down and she was had nowhere to live. So we took her in and it would never go off. And she said, because it's scared of me, which I thought was BS. But that and things move a lot. Things go missing. Like I'm missing my favorite robe right now. And I know it has it. Things just move around constantly. Things have moved out around in front of me. She just feels very uncomfortable here. One time, this is weird. We had a printer. It was a Canon printer. It wasn't even plugged in and it started printing just random letters and numbers. And it wasn't even plugged in. Like, so she sees it, but she tries to ignore it because I told her to. So this way it'll go away and not bother her. But at the same sense, it's kind of like, I don't want her to feel scared because if they wanted to hurt you, they would have. And as long as you respect the fact that they're going to be here and you're just going to have to live with it, you'll be fine. But it follows me a lot. Whatever this is follows me. And it's not just here. I don't know if it's my dad at my mom's house, but I'm hoping it's my dad. But my friend Nicole had told me also, she said, when your dad died, he was sitting in a hospital bed next to a window to the right of him. And I said, yes. And she said he was at peace because the sun was shining on his face. He knew he was passing and he had all his friends with him and all his family, but people came by afterwards. Just certain things that she said, he's not stuck there by any means, but he stays there to be with my mom. And I can feel him there. And honestly, and I tell everybody this, I can't sleep in this house. I will attempt to sleep. I may sleep, but it's not a deep sleep. And it's only because I feel so anxious here ever since the lady hit the house. But when I sleep at my mom's house and I go over there, I feel peace, like he's there, you know, watching over me. And I can even sleep in the same area. It doesn't bother me. My dad was also very sensitive. He, one time we were in Gettysburg, which, you know, is like super haunted.
Yeah, we've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we went to Saxton's Bridge, where they hung some Confederate soldiers. My dad was with my uncle, Pete. And he said, there's a legend. If you take a cigarette and you light it, smoke it a little bit and put it on the railing, it'll smoke and it'll spin. And I got it on video.
Oh, wow.
It's lit and it's like a real good spin. Like, and then the railing is only about that thick. So you would think it would fall off. And then it starts smoking. And I forget the guy's name. He was a Confederate. The story is that he died there and his spirit can't leave. And he used to be a smoker. Isn't that crazy?
Right. And getting to that, the house we're living in now, see, Millie, she's not into the paranormal. You know, she don't like this. She puts, you keep that shit away from me, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I have a cross over here. I got one in the back of the house, but back of the room here, you know, because I've seen too much stuff, you know.
But
when we moved in this house, I kept saying, and the people who owned the house before us, they're the original owners. And Greta, her name is Greta, and she was a heavy smoker, like a 4-pack a day. And so she...
4 packs a day?
Right. So I smell, you know, and it's not just like you smell cigarettes. It's you know, when somebody does a puff of smoke in your face.
Yes.
And I told Millie, I said, you know, Greta's here. But I mean, I just feel it. I feel...
Yeah.
And it's hard to explain. And she's okay, you're doing like maybe one too many podcasts, you know. And she laughed about, you know, well, not long ago, she said, there's just, I smelled the smoke, you know. And it was just, and it's not like, okay, you just walk in this one room and this room smells like smoke, or you walk over.
Yeah.
No, it's no matter where you're at, you get that little puff of smoke. And it's not a long time. It's just a lingering.
Yeah.
We both say, hello, Greta, you know, go outside and smoke, you know.
Yes.
And it'll stop. You know,
yeah.
nothing I don't think is, you know, horribly like we're haunted or scared or anything like that. It's just,
yeah.
And I didn't know if I'm doing these shows like you're talking about, you know, the smell, the sense of smell.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be a perfume that your grandmother wore, or
yep,
maybe a cigarette your dad smelled, you know, because they get different brands, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it don't bother us, but I had to, you know, I can understand when you have a spirit in your house and there's different characteristics, you know, it's that person. Like you're trying to determine all if maybe your dad's in a house. Maybe he is, you know. Maybe,
yeah.
You know, because sometimes you can carry a spirit with you.
Oh, yeah.
Or it goes another spot that you didn't think it's going to be in, you know.
Right.
But she's finally coming around to maybe Greta is still lingering around here a bit, you know. But yeah, I seen it on the news when that lady hit your, I mean, and it made our news here. That the lady hit your house. Oh, yeah. Hit your house in Struthers. And like, oh my God, that was Danny's house.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know if I mentioned you on the news, because I remember, yeah, it did mention you on the
news. Yeah. Sarah was on the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, that their house was just hit.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's talking about. Your house was thrown off foundation or was a house next door?
It was ours.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That was wild, you know.
They fixed it half-assed, but because my landlord signed off on it, because we were originally going to purchase this house, but then it had some problems with it. So we're currently in the market to either rent to own or own. There was problems with the foundation after she hit it. And we had a huge, huge hole in our house from January 17th until March 30th. So they had to, it was too cold for the mortar to sit. You know, that's when it started happening. Like the trickster stuff was always there. Like one night, I'm sleeping in my bedroom. I'm not sleeping. I'm about to fall asleep. And Sarah heard it too, but I hear this zip, 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 zip. I look over and we had a suitcase because we just came back from traveling and it was unzipping and zipping. And I just lay back down. And then there was a bag next to it, like a plastic bag. And it picked up off the ground and it dropped. And I was like, out, get out right now. I said, it doesn't bother me that you're here, but it bothers me when I'm sleeping.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be disturbed. And it went away. It went away and never came back. But now there's another one here. And they always come back. You notice that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why is that? Why do they always come back?
I don't know. But it could be they're attracted to your house or attracted to you. You know,
right.
Some people are like a magnet. I mean, some people have multiple connections with spirits, and other people never, not once in their life, you know. And I don't consider myself a medium or anything like that, but I do because maybe an empath, because I can feel when I'm not, same as you, you can feel when you're in a house, you can feel when that house has a spirit or something's going on that's not normal, you know.
Right.
I can feel. I went to a house last year. I could feel it. As soon as I walked into that house, I could feel it. I knew it was.
Yeah. You
know? And but we'll get to some more. Can I want to take a little break and we'll come right back and finish up with a couple other stories, if you don't mind.
All right. Sounds good.
Are you looking for a new book to read? Check out my newest book, An Awakening, by Wendy M. Cope, last name spelled K-O-K. Basically, it's a story of good versus evil, and these things slowly start taking over the residents of the small northern town of Neillsville, Wisconsin, and I would love it if you would read it. My books are available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Book Baby Bookshop, everywhere, really, and you can find me at WendyMCopeAuthor.com.
Okay, I'm back with Danny Nicholas. We were talking about before the break that why do you think spirits come back or they don't move on?
I think it's a matter of, so when you die, right? This is what I think. I think when you die, your soul goes to heaven, but your spirit stays. And those people that were in your life never go away. See, but in the same sense, like the lady that's in, I'm sure she's in heaven, but in the front room, like, is that her spirit or is that something else telling me to make her move on? Because I don't know exactly if I should believe in that or if I should believe in, and if the spirit is the soul, I don't know. All I know is that I feel very bad and I want her to go over and not feel so trapped. You know, the Nebo area in Struthers where I live, it's called Nebo.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it stands for, but it's, an Indian reservoir. This used to be an Indian reservoir. And we get a lot of people in our backyard, believe it or not. Like I can sense them big time. I don't know about them either, but all I know is like Isaiah, Josh's son.
Mm-hmm.
He comes over here and we metal detect in the backyard. You won't believe the stuff we found. He found it. It's a key to a horse drug and carriage to crank and tighten the wheels, the wood wheels.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff out here. Like, I can't even believe half the stuff. And it makes it that more interesting. You know what I mean? Like, as far as the spirits and stuff. Because, I mean, think about it. Like, this guy, Thomas, that built the house. Like, that could have been to his carriage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That, I know we're off topic about that. But it's just, I think it ties well with
not really, because I had, when I went to the house last year, you're talking about Indian burial grounds. You wouldn't believe how many times I've come, even in my book that I'm writing, this I can't wait to come out.
Yeah.
How do you get information on a house that's torn down? Like the records right. don't exist. So I contacted the city hall in Warren and trying to get some information, and they're talking about the house was an Indian grounds area. So
wow.
And the house I did last year, the house I went into that was haunted, the guy who dug his garden and come up with some Indian artifacts out of his garden. So, and it's my thing.
Wow.
They moved the house there on that location, and that I think they placed it on Indian burial grounds. It's about the land. Everything's about the land. That's why Indians take the land so serious,
right?
And everything has a living spirit. You know, the water, the earth, the trees, everything that has its own
yes.
their spirits. And I tell you what, I kind of agree with that, because like this man, I was on my show last year. I had people comment to me that if you find something like that key, if you find something that's triggering a response, then you want to rebury that key. You want to put something back in that ground that you took out.
Oh, wow.
Because you are manifesting that spirit with through that object.
Yes. Okay.
You know, and that kind of opened my mind up a little bit. Well, in other words, that man who dug up these Indian artifacts off his garden should have put them back in that land. Mm-hmm. You're disturbing what was there.
Yeah.
And another thing was, well, it was disturbed to begin with when they put the right. house there. You know, so
right.
I don't know about that. You know, but I do know that the land is sacred. You know, I do believe that. You know, because once we're all gone, once I'm dead, once you're gone, that land will always be there.
Exactly.
So there's nothing that changes in that dirt. So, you know, if there's a spirit there, it's going to be there forever.
You know, exactly.
So, I don't know. A lot of these, my guests have opened my eyes up on different topics. And you're talking about that key or something else that maybe triggers something that was in that house.
Probably.
So if that man that built the house or owns your home, you know, there was a connection there. I don't know. You know, that's just one way of looking at it, you know.
No, that makes sense to me. Have you gone ghost hunting?
Yes.
Could I ever go with you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, you know, I'd like to go back to this house that I'd love to take you, because this house is extremely active.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and I'll tell you what. I went there to do an interview with the man because he didn't want to do like a Zoom thing. He wanted me to come there and do face-to-face. That's all. Cool. How much he was into this story he wanted to share with me, but he wanted me to be there. I don't know if he expected me to go there too, because I don't do actually paranormal investigating. I do people that I know that investigate. When I did my documentary.
Yeah.
So I knew on investigating certain areas, I know about spirit boxes. And one guy I had on the show that I went with him, he invented a device, and it was like a spirit box / infrared technology. I mean, this was way back in the 90s. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I've been on them. I like to go back to this house, not from, you know, I'm sure he wouldn't mind me. You coming with me.
That'd be awesome.
He calls it a fun house, you know, because as soon as you walk in, the house is kind of like, it's weird because I don't know, because when they moved the house, but you know, how as you go up the steps, your steps are supposed to be like level, you know,
yeah,
one step. His steps are like angled.
Oh, wow.
So it's hard to even get up the steps. And then you look at those ceilings, and all the ceiling lines are like slanted. But you're almost like he called it a fun house, you know. And that's the first time since my ghost story back when I was 12 years old that I actually seen a shadow figure, you know, because it doesn't happen to me all the time. So right. It took me, 60 some years to actually see a shadow figure again. So,
right.
But there was one in this house, you know, and say you go, like say the room you're sitting in now, it's 70 degrees. But you go into your room, it's right connected and the door's open, right, to your next room. And it's 40 degrees in there.
Wow.
So the house was, I could feel the energy in that house. And it actually, my cell phone, it cracked my screen in 4 spots. So I had to get another phone, but the pressure was so bad. It worked enough for me to get the interview on the front porch of his house. I wouldn't do it inside the house because I just felt ill. I didn't feel right.
Oh, wow.
I felt like I was being watched. It's really it's hard to explain. I mean, you would probably understand. A lot of people don't understand that. So I did an interview outside of his house. Yeah, I'd love to take you back there. I want to go back and do that again. Mm-hmm. You see, there's multiple spirits in this house. There's one girl in the house, one young child that he had a connection with. Kind of like reminded me of my book I'm writing, because I had one connection with one girl that was in my house growing up.
Yeah.
And find out there's more than just one spirit in the house. You know, same as his house. There's multiple spirits. So mm-hmm. Now I'm finding out these spirits are changing. So it's not the same ones. Yeah, so that's interesting, you know. And whenever something comes up, I'm going to give you a call.
Oh, I want to go.
I had an infrared camera I loved, you know, that could actually, you know, how you can videotape at night. You can even use something like that, like a camcorder with the infrared on it.
Yeah.
It picks up multiple stuff. I mean, it's
wow.
I mean, just little cheap old school devices you could use.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
If you, like when I was doing a documentary, when you're pushed on a bridge or you're hit from behind, that over trumps anything that's a spirit box, anything like that. So I'm like, if something comes up, I'm definitely going to give you a call.
Oh, I'm down.
Do something with me.
I'm down. You just let me know when and where I'll go.
I'd like to have one of your spirit, maybe if they'd be interested, one of your friends to go with me to where my house was, I grew up at.
Yeah.
The house is no longer there. So there was a house fire, and that's another whole story in itself. But
okay.
When I go by there, I still get the creeps. I still get it's a funny feeling. I took my brother-in-law there, my Uncle Todd. I took him, or be your cousin Todd, I don't know.
Right.
Cousin Todd. I took him there one time when they were in town with us, and we said, I'm going to drive by the old house, you know, and he's like, how about let's get the hell out of here, you know? He wasn't too down on that, but, you know, I still get the feeling. So I'd like to just know if, like, see, somebody who's a psychic medium.
Yeah.
I've been going to the library and trying to get some history of this house.
It's so weird that you're saying that, because I'm doing the exact same thing with this house. I just went to the library and got info on it.
And that's the best way to do it, because, you know, the archives on the address, it's an old phone books. So mm-hmm. If you go through the old phone books, it'll tell you who lived there in 1964, what their occupation was, who they're married to. That's weird. I looking back on that now, it's like, wow, this is cool. I went back to 1927, I believe, of this house. It's stuff like that, you know. So
yeah. So I don't know if you'd be into this. I'm guessing yes. But I've been looking up the guy that owns the house on Grissom. I texted him by the number I found online. Nothing. His name is James. He's 30 years old, at least at the time when he bought the house. The guy that had it before with his father, he's 81. My brother is adamant about just going over there, knocking on the door and be like, look, I want to know what's going on. Because my dad...
The worst you can do is just knock you out the porch.
Right.
Yeah, well, why not?
The thing is my dad boarded all that stuff back up because my mom said, don't touch it. So I don't know. You couldn't even tell when my dad repainted it that there was anything, you know, but is it still there? It's the same octagon window.
Plus, you know, I wonder if that guy even knows it's there. The guy, you know, whoever's right, that's living what I'm in saying, a house. Right. I mean, Josh might have a good idea, you know.
Here's the other thing. My friend that's a medium, Nicole, said that house is going to catch on fire.
I thought my house burned down. It caught on fire. And what I hear was a guy inside the house died. So my thinking is, did something cause? I mean, what caused that house to catch on fire? I mean, because it was extremely active while we lived there, but the more violent acts were after we moved out. So, because I knew the renters in that house. So, yeah, that house on Grissom that you guys lived in was, I thought was back then, before I was even into the paranormal that deep, I could feel like there was something. And your dad said this house is extremely active.
I don't remember. I know we had a dog. I was real young. But
I may have asked your mom, but I think it was like a golden retriever. But this dog acted funny in certain rooms. And your dad said, well, it doesn't have to go in that room. This is stuff he was telling me. You know,
was it Buffy? Buffy the dog?
I can't remember.
I think I know. I know what you're talking about, because he used to act funny. I remember that. Because we had two or three dogs, but that one definitely, yeah.
And he said, well, it didn't stop there. So he said there was more to it. I never got down to sit and talk to him in depth about that. I wanted to. It's like one of those things, like I say, you should have, could have, would have, you know, but it never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. When that something comes up, I'm going to give you a text or a call and see if it works something out.
Yeah, I can ask my friend that lives here. The other one lives in Florida, but I can ask her if she want to go. She might be interested in it. You know, what's really weird is that this girl that's a medium, that's Sarah's best friend, said that all of a sudden she said, watch your stove. And I was like, what? And she goes, watch your stove. You're going to have a fire, and watch your dogs. So I'm freaked out about fires. They scare me.
Uh-huh.
A lot of things have been going on lately in the news, people talking, situations that I've heard of about fires lately, and it's scaring me. And so this lady that we took in, her house caught on fire. That's how it happened. It happened to her, not us. The stove caught on fire, killed her dog. And it was like 2 weeks after she told us that. And I told her, I said, it wasn't us, but it was this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of crazy because, I mean, I don't know how this girl knows this stuff. She knew about my grandfather being there, and I've seen just certain things, and she's on point all the time. So I'm hoping that the house on Grissom doesn't burn down, because I don't want anybody hurt or animals to get hurt or anything. So I really hope she's wrong about that, because I don't want anybody to get killed or anything to happen. But I definitely do want to go to that house and talk to the guy. And I know it's going to sound strange. I know he's probably going to be like, get off my porch, but I want to know. And I won't walk in it. I won't walk in that house. Like before, remember when I told you when we'll talk and do this interview, mm-hmm. I was going to do it across the street.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm.
So many people were here and they were talking about it and everything, and it's all the same. So I'm not worried about it anymore, but I won't go in that house after the stuff I felt and stuff I've seen and the weird stuff. I mean, most of it, I blocked it out, but I just remember my mom definitely seeing her and the stuff that was in the walls. And
did your mom witness any of that? I know she knew about the grandfather and her dad. And the Florida house.
Oh yeah. My mom was extremely, extremely sick at Grissom. She had just had Josh, and it was a nightmare of a delivery because he stopped breathing while he was being born. And so they had complications after the pregnancy. So she was sick for a while. And then whenever she did get out of bed, because she was sick for so long, be septic because of it. And when she got better, she started noticing things, how much she knows, how much she remembers, you know, how empathic she is. I know my dad was very empathic. I don't know if my mom's sensitive to that kind of stuff. I'm guessing she is because she said that to you about my grandfather. But my dad and I talked about that a lot.
I just mentioned the cold breeze. Millie and I both did about the next morning. I said, that cold breeze came. Oh, we don't know what it was. No, it wasn't the air conditioning. And it was a hot night. So I know it wasn't outside. And she says, oh, so you met my father last night.
Yeah.
You know, that to me at that time, it made sense, you know. And that happened to us another time when Millie's brother, Tony, when his girlfriend passed away, you know, we felt her come through the house. I mean, it was like, and Mila and I both looked at each other in bed. We're laying in bed, and it says her spirit came like through the house, and we both knew it was her, like your grandfather, you know. How did he get to, you know what I'm saying? How did he get to Florida? Like, you hear about spirits that stay in the house because that's their house, right? They died in that house, and their story's not done yet, you know. But for that spirit to go for, like, say, what, 1,200 miles from
he's got to be a guide. That's the only thing I can think of.
Right. I mean, so, or yeah, spirit guide, or, I mean, I don't know why he would, that always fascinated me, how a loved one can follow you to another state.
Oh yeah. And then the other thing is my friend, you know, Nicole, she said some interesting stuff about heaven. She said, there's a lady, very bossy, short statured, little heavy, telling people what they have to do when they get to heaven. I'm like, I know who this is. She goes, that's your grandmother, isn't it? Lucy. Yeah, that's about right. Then she said that she described Aunt Donna to a T. She said that just the way she was sick and she was, the way she dressed and carried herself and her attitude, her personality. And then she said, Uncle Zippy's there. My dad's there. My Uncle Pete's there. My Uncle Pete is very formal. He always wore a white shirt, button down, black slacks, black shoes.
What's Uncle Pete, the one that was a dentist?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I've met him a couple times. Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, right.
He was very big into paranormal stuff, like my dad. Then he, all three brothers, and it still boggles my mind to this day, but my dad and both his brothers all passed away within 3 years of each other. And the only one left was my Yaya, my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And she lived to be 97. It's just interesting, the stories that my uncle, like, for instance, my uncle, when he passed away, his daughter, my cousin Angela, came to Ohio and brought me this box. And I opened the box, and it's a vampire killing kit. Because, you know, he was an archaeologist and a historian.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to Transylvania, and he got this box. And it's got a silver knife in it. It's got, I mean, a big knife. And it's got poison in it. And it's got, like, these little bottles of poison. It's got a cross. It's got all this stuff in it. And it comes with all this letter of authenticity. And he got it appraised and all that stuff. But the thing that bothers me is, like, what's attached to that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and to be honest with you, I kind of want it out of my house. I don't even know how to sell it. And my dad said, don't you sell that. Well, my mom was like, if you don't feel comfortable with it and you're not doing anything with it, sell it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who to sell that to. Where do I go for that? The only place I can think of is Cleveland Curiosities. That's it. Who's going to want a vampire kit?
Oh, you'd be surprised, you know, if you put out there on like eBay you'd be surprised at how many people are interested in Dogmen, Mothmen. I mean,
it's
astounding. Even on my podcast, it's not so much the guest I have on, it's the responses I get from that guest.
The skinwalkers, they scare me.
The little people scare me. The little fae, which I never really knew about.
What is that?
They're like the little fairies, like little.
Is that what a fae is?
Yeah, it's a little person.
Okay. So,
and if you look in the Indian folk, if you look it up on Google or look in the Indian folklore on the little people. And these things, little guys can be vicious.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How do you see those usually?
Sometimes they end up like the one girl on my show. It happened to her as a child and was under her bed. Can you imagine, like, a little guy? You think this is like a cartoon type of story, but it's not, you know, and it runs out. And I have one coming up, a lady coming on my show pretty soon that she's been on before. She's a fae witch.
Wow.
I mean, so it's pretty cool. I learn on this show all the time about doppelgangers and.
Oh, yeah. Changelings and
right, you know, and I want to go down this year to the Mothman Festival, and hopefully
I'm scared of that too. That movie freaked me out. Now I don't even like moths now. That movie scared me that bad.
Yeah, but I think there are people out there for anything you want to say. There's somebody out there that would eat up that anything vampire related,
right?
You know,
and you know what? It's kind of funny that you say that, because skinwalkers out of all of them scare me, because I've seen videos that just don't make any sense of how anybody can recreate that. I mean, they're running on all forks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's not just one that I've seen. They scare me.
Now I'm investigating like the 411 cases, you know.
Yeah.
That fascinates me, because I think it's somehow paranormal, extraterrestrial related.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can go into a whole other podcast on that, but. Yeah, that's a lot to take in. The paranormal is a big field. And all my guests that come on here, I never say they're crazy. I never say they're not. No. I expect for them to tell me their truth that they're going through. You know, I started this podcast. It's like, you know, I've always been of the Christian belief that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell. That's how I was raised. And a lot of your churches mm-hmm. don't even want to touch upon that. Talking to other guests about, it's not necessarily moving on to heaven or hell. You're moving on to a different realm. So what realm mm-hmm. What realm is that? It could be heaven, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a deep topic. And my wife said you could pick any topic to do your podcast on, because you're a musician and writing a book, you know, but you pick paranormal. I said, you know.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating, because the paranormal is the unexplained.
It is.
I always say, you know, somebody comes on and say, they claim to be an expert. I don't know if you have an expert in something you can't explain. But you can be very well educated on it. But I don't know mm-hmm. about being an expert, because that means you know everything. You know, and mm-hmm. I don't believe that, because I'm always learning on this show. So, and I'll be the first to admit, you know, I've never heard that, you know. you know. But
yeah.
Anyway, it was nice talking to you today and sharing your stories. I do want to get together with you, and got a couple places I want to go. Maybe tag along. I want to go to the cemetery in Evans, PA.
Oh yeah.
Where Night of the Living Dead was filmed.
Yes.
I want to see that.
Oh, and I'm down for that.
Because it's not just that cemetery. There's a road outside of that that's extremely haunted.
Wow.
So when they had that big storm that went through, it actually uplifted a lot of these tombstones and disrupted the spirits inside that. That's what I was been told, not by one, but quite a few people. So I want to go check that out, you know.
You know, I went to school for film and video, so I have all of my original, I mean, not original, I've upgraded, but I have tons of video equipment. If you ever need it, or sound or anything, I'm down. I want to do this. I'm extremely excited about it.
Yeah. All right. I want to keep in contact with you, and any other updates during the year. Look forward to talking to you again.
Great talking to you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Cousin Danny Nicholas, for coming on the show. It's been a while since we've talked. I'm really excited that we finally worked it out. Get you to come on and share your stories. And I know how haunted that house on Grissom was. I'm glad that you can share those stories with me, and it has been truly my pleasure having Danny on the show, and I look forward to having her back on, because I'm sure there will be lots of updates, because these spirits just don't leave her alone. Wherever she goes, they seem to want to follow her. I look forward to working with her probably towards the end of the summer, and going to a couple places I have on my list. Hopefully Danny and her friends, or friend, psychic mediums, can go with me and check these places out. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another great episode of Ghost in the Valley podcast.